We are so glad you guys are here today. It's a great day. If you have your Bibles and you would like, you can turn to the book of John, chapter 11. We've been trying a couple different things here lately, and it's been really nice to see people step up. It's just been such encouragement. I appreciate Michael leading our prayer time. If you would, bear with me, if you would, let's go ahead and stand one more time in John chapter 11 as we read God's Word. We're just going to read verse 32 and 33 of John 11, and then we will jump into our text. Verse 32, the Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." You may be seated. We're going to look at resurrection today, but something has really been on my heart, and I hope I can convey it the best way. The title of the message today is Unraveled, Unraveled. And I'm going to have Diane pull up a picture for us this morning, and we'll see if we can get it there. It may be hard to see for some of you. Have you ever had a blanket that you liked and all of a sudden it just started, you know, to do its thing? Or maybe it's, for me, it's my pants a lot of times, right? And that's kind of how sometimes our lives can feel like things are starting to come apart. Another picture, I don't have this picture for you today, but another thing that I think about for my life is that I am a professional plate spinner. Anybody else do that? Right? You got this one going, it's going, right? And you got this one going, and it's going, and you got this one going, and then what happens to the first one? But then like the third one, and then the seventh one, and then what happens in life is you can't get to all the plates, and then what happens to some of the plates? Yes, okay. Anybody else here today ever feel like that? Thank you, I was hoping for that, all right? What I want you to see today is I think that the Lord has a message for those of us who feel like we just can't seem to get going anymore, and it's things like things aren't coming together, they're going apart. And I think the Lord wants to speak to us today in that. So here's a few phrases that may help you with this idea. The first phrase is, I just can't do this anymore. Been there, right? It may be a sickness, it may be an emotional thing, it may be a financial problem, and you're just like, I'm sorry, I just can't do this anymore. Another one is, everything is all coming apart. Or here's one of mine I also like is, I'm hanging on by a thread, right? Oh, it's just about ready to give out. I'm at my breaking point. Or maybe some people use this phrase, I'm barely managing. And the last one I have for you this morning is, things are spiraling out of control. Now, everybody in here today, you guys look amazing, by the way. You look happy, good. I mean, it's pretty nice outside. The grass is green. Some of you got to start mowing. I know you don't like that. But overall, right, we're looking good. We're feeling good. We're about ready to eat really good. It's a good day. But inside, if we were to have a conversation face-to-face, I have a feeling that some of you would be like, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I can keep doing this. And today, I hope that you'll let the Lord speak to your heart, because I think he wants to let you know that you don't have to keep doing this. If you'll put your trust in him, he will be your strength. He is the resurrection and the life, all right? All right, we're going to do a little bit of backstory this morning because we have so much, and I've tried to get a lot better over the years. You guys, I hope you'll be thankful for this. Normally, I would probably have about 10 to 12 pages, and we'd be here for 2 hours. So I've tried to cut things down, okay? So I don't want to scare you much like that. So we're going to, instead of reading a whole lot of passage, we're going to just do some backstory on some of it. But we want to start with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus. So just briefly, if you don't know a little bit about Mary and Martha, they actually live fairly close to Jesus and Lazarus as well. So Mary and Martha and Lazarus, one family, friends of Jesus. One day Jesus goes to see Mary and Martha, and Martha is doing her thing. Anybody know what Martha's thing is? We have a lot of Lady Marthas in our church. They can't sit still, right? Oh, we got to rearrange this, and we need to organize this, and this needs to be vacuumed. Is everything set and prepared? You guys, we have lots of time today. We're going to do Easter egg hunt after this before we have to have dinner. Take your time. It'll be okay. Martha is that person, right? I can't believe this isn't ready. I can't believe this looks like this. And Jesus speaks to her about that. Like, Martha, you're really busy about a lot of things, But we find Mary, the first time she's with Jesus, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And basically Jesus says to her, Mary desires one thing, and it is the right thing. And we find out that Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus, they're very, very close. Well, in John chapter 11, where we are today, down in verse 3, the sisters are going to send word to Jesus that Lazarus is, he's not feeling well, he's actually very, very sick. And I love how they word this. In John chapter 11, verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, you talk about trying to put a guilt trip on people, right? Lord, the one you love, this Lazarus, the one you care about, he's not doing well. We wanted to get a message to you. Why do they want to send a message to Jesus about Lazarus? Because he could do something about it. Amen? They knew his power, they knew his strength, and they wanted him to act. They described Lazarus as the one Jesus loved. But here's the sad thing for the sisters, as you guys know the rest of the story, Jesus does not come. He will not come to the rescue. And what happens to Lazarus? He wasn't just kind of sick, he was so sick that he died. Lazarus dies. You look in verse 14 of John chapter 11. The scripture says, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. This whole series, we've been doing a series in the book of John, and it's entitled Believe. And here we see it again. The Lord speaks and he says, I was glad that I wasn't there so that you may believe. Hear the Lord this morning. In the middle of the pain and the struggle and even the misunderstanding, Jesus has worked so that we may believe. Now, for just a moment here, we may get this a little bit more, but put yourselves into the shoes of Mary and Martha. How you doing? Have you ever reached out to the Lord desperately and you didn't get what you want? Right? Please, amen. No, I'm serious. That's what I want you to be honest with, right? And that is exactly where Mary and Martha are here. We know that you're a Messiah. We know the one that you can do anything that you ask the Father. He'll do it. We needed your help. We reached out to you, and you didn't deliver. Where are you? And I hope today, if you felt that feeling before, you can kind of empathize and sympathize with Mary and Martha. And what I would say today, again, is that in some ways, in their perspective, in their eyes, Jesus didn't deliver, and they didn't know what to do with that. And for them, and I'm very honest about this, I think for them, everything for right now was falling apart. Everybody tracking with that? Any of you have dealt with grief, you know that feeling, right? Like, how is this going to end? Everybody else seems like they're smiling, they're happy, and my whole world is crashing, and I don't understand what to do with that. And that's where Mary and Martha are right now. Well, let's look down in verse 17 and see if we can see how Jesus works in our lives, even when we don't understand everything. I believe you are the Christ. We're going to see this truth come through in this paragraph. Look in verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days, and Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, look what she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Can I give you a quick aside here last night? I have a good friend down in Nashville, Tennessee. His name's David Outlaw. He's a theologian, pastor, preacher. We went to seminary together. And we went to go see my daughter two weeks ago. And we spent time there with David. And David was all on me about what am I reading and thinking and processing. David calls me last night. He goes, I just want to pray for you for tomorrow, for Easter. And he goes, what are you preaching? I thought that John 11. He goes, oh, I need you to fix something because I bet you don't read this the right way. He goes, most people read it like this. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, don't you dare read it that way. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus is Jehovah, right? Moses says, who am I supposed to say sent me? What's God answer? Tell them, I am, right? Okay, so David, if you're listening, I got it right, I hope. Keep going, you're almost there. I'm the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And Jesus says to Martha, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now, as you're looking here at Martha, she's her normal busy self, right? Jesus finally makes his way. He's late. Some say 4 days, some say 2 days, however you want to argue about it. And as he's making his way in, who's there to meet him? Martha. She can't sit still. She's got to figure out what's going on. What's the deal? Where's Mary? Is Mary with her? Mary stays at home. Again, both of them kind of fulfilling their roles. Now, here's what I love about Martha. I pick on Martha way too much. Martha was a super strong believer, and she knows that Jesus could heal, and that's why they sent a message to him, and she confronts him right away, and you'll kind of see in a little bit how they confront him differently. Martha comes right at Jesus right away, and she simply says, if you had been here, he would not have died. And I'm going to put in my penology words here this morning. Where were you, Jesus? Where were you? And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Jesus was there the whole time. You're not tracking with me yet. Some of you today are like, where's the Lord in my financial problem? Where's the Lord in my relationship pain? Where is the Lord in my physical struggle? And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, he's already ahead of you. He's already there. He was already here. But Martha, she could not see it quite that way. Now, I want you to, again, listen here carefully. And I want you to study this out and pray this over and make sure you think the preacher's on the right track. But when Martha answers, and she basically tells Jesus, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. I don't think she really thought that Jesus was going to raise her brother right then. I think what she was saying was something maybe like this. I still believe in you, and I still know that God will give you whatever you ask, even though you didn't work this out as I had hoped. Can you say that? Huh? I reached out to you, Jesus. Here's the way I thought you would work it out. I thought you would come and rescue my brother. I thought you would heal him. You didn't. But I still believe that you are the one that God has sent. I still believe that you have a voice with God. I still believe you have a great plan. And even though you didn't work out things the way that I thought, I trust you. Wow. You want to talk about faith, right? That's incredible. She still believes. And I want to challenge you this morning, even when it doesn't seem like it's making sense and I can't sort it out, keep trusting. Again, the Lord is already there, and he was already there in this situation. All right. Do you turn to Jesus first, or are you still trying to fix things yourself? You know what I do most of the time. I go the wrong way. Jesus then begins to try and bring comfort to her, and he says to her, your brother will rise again. And I think it's almost kind of like this. Maybe you've been at a funeral, and when you're hurting and you're grieving, and someone says to you something like this, well, they're in a better place. And to be honest with you, for a lot of people, that doesn't really help, does it? You're hurting, you're struggling, and they're trying to be helpful. It's not that they're trying to be mean in any way. But they're like, well, they're in a better place. And you're like, oh. I want to say to you this morning, I think a little bit, that's how Martha took what Jesus said. Your brother will rise again. And she's kind of like, yeah, Lord Jesus, I know that he's going to rise again at the last day. I know that's how this works. But that doesn't help me right now. Oh, Martha, you don't even know, do you? Oh, Barb, you don't even know. Oh, Melissa, you don't even know. Oh, Vicky, you don't even know. Right? She thought she understood, and yet the Lord was still to do something amazing. All right. Martha, she gets this big question from Jesus after he says her brother will rise again. And then he declares, I'm the resurrection and I am the life. And again, this is before he ever rose again. I want to say this just briefly this morning. Jesus is life. He's the source of it. He's the end of it. He sustains it. The one who believes, he says, in me will live. And then he asked Martha this question. I'm asking you this question today. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection. I am the one. I am the life. The one who believes in me Though they are dead, they'll live, and yet they will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe who I am, who I say I am? You guys, that's the whole question for everybody here today. If Jesus is who he says he is, if he is the Son of God, then our best life is to pursue him with all of our heart. And if Jesus is just supposedly another teacher or a good man, we know, if you guys have heard all the sermons, it really just means he's a liar or he's crazy. But the truth is, if he is who he said he is, do you believe, Martha, do you believe? Then that's going to change her whole outlook and her whole life moving forward. And you guys know it does. Do you believe Jesus is truly the Son of God? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead on the third day? Do you believe that he knows what is best for your life? That's the hardest one, isn't it, right? No, there's no way the Lord could know. I needed him to help my brother. Do you know and believe that he knows what's best? And will you trust him with your death as well as your life? You guys, as believers, you know that death is just a passageway to the best life ever. Amen? All right. Martha knows she's in the presence of Messiah, and she now clearly declares exactly that. Look in verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. She reaffirms her faith, and she is strengthened. If you believe, you found life that will never end. There is real hope and a way through the chaos, but we must seek him. All right, look down if you would in verse 28. I want you to see how Jesus loves, and we're going to wrap this up here today. This is such a great truth. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, look at again, just what Martha said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. That's a long verse, isn't it? Maybe one of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. Now, Mary's been off hiding. Martha comes back and tells Mary, Jesus is calling for her. That's good. Jesus had not forgotten Mary, and he has not forgotten you either. Right? Jesus called for her. Martha, you go tell Mary, I want to see her. I know her pain. I know her hurt. I know God is about to do something amazing in her life. I have not forgotten her. She feels so lost and left out. She is not forgotten by the Lord, and you are not either. That's how much he loves you. Mary gets up quickly to see Jesus. All these other friends are with her. They think that she's going to the tomb. She's just going to Jesus. They all follow after. And then notice Mary's response to Jesus compared to Martha. I believe Martha kind of confronts Jesus. If you had been here, but what does Mary do? Oh, I can't. I'm going to cry so hard. I'm trying not to cry today, guys. I really don't cry every Sunday. I just cry on Easter. She runs to Jesus, and what does she do? She falls down at his feet. She falls down at his feet, and she's weeping, and she's crying. Have you ever been in a funeral when people are grieving, that they're just openly mourning and weeping and crying? That is where Mary is in the moment. And she comes to Jesus, and if you bear with me, I think she kind of words it like this. Lord, where were you? If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Why did you let my brother die? And she's on her feet, and she's worshiping him, but she's crying out to him. You're the one who could make the difference. You're the one who could make the change. Where were you when I needed you, Jesus? And what is Jesus' response in that moment? Jesus, what did he do? He wept. Now, you guys, again, study this out. Pray about it. There's a lot of different reasons why people think maybe Jesus cried. I think one of the main reasons Jesus was crying, because he loved Mary, he loved Martha, and he loved Lazarus, and he saw Mary and Martha's grief. He saw what sin does to this world whenever it breaks a heart. And as she's pouring out before him, Lord Jesus wept. Aren't you glad today you serve a king who cries? You know why? Because he loves you. Again, Mary's heart today, it's humble and she falls. She knows that Jesus is God and he has the power to prevent the situation. But she is not chiding him or accusing him. She's falling at his feet and weeping, and she cries, "If you had been here, he would not have died." Have you ever said something like that to the Lord before? Maybe, again, some of my words, you put your own words in these phrases. "Lord, if you had acted, this difficult thing would not have happened. Why didn't you act? I know you could stop this, or I know you could fix this. I'm falling apart here, and you have the power to fix it. Why didn't you, or why don't you do what I want? Where are you?" And again, I'm reminded this morning that Jesus is our Savior, and please don't forget this when you are hurting. And if I had time, I would come to each and every one of you, and I, as my friend last night was telling me, I'd grab you by the face, and I'd say, "God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you so that you don't have to face all this junk alone, and that you have hope and a future if you repent and trust him. He loves you this much." Again, we see here in Jesus' humanity that he loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and he moves to empathize with them. He's sharing their grief. He weeps. The others say, "See how he loved him," but I'd say, "See how he loved them." Jesus knows your pain today, whatever it is, and he loves you. And the crowd is still out there. They're always there, verse 37. But some of the men said, they cried, some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And yes, the answer is yes. But we don't know the purpose, and oftentimes we don't know the purpose. Today you might be frustrated not seeing the purpose in your situation or your grief, and I don't have your answers. I wish I could give you the answers, and I don't know how it all fits together, but I know this. If you'll believe in Jesus, your life will matter, and he will walk through whatever trial you are facing. Again, he's already ahead of you. All right, dead man walking. Look down at verse 39. You guys know the end of the story probably better than I do. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Again, he wasn't just moved with Mary and Martha. Now he's coming to where Lazarus is dead, and again, he's overwhelmed. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he had been there 4 days." Martha can't get out of her own way, can she, right? "Lord, if you open that tomb, I mean, we're going to have to Febreze this place for days. This is going to be terrible. We got to have things nice and neat and appropriate and in their places." She has no clue what Jesus is about to do. You guys, let us be careful that we don't get so ordered and prepped and task-oriented that we miss the moving of God. That's where Martha is, right? "Lord, if you do that, it's going to smell so bad." Look at verse 40. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you," "did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and he said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." What do you think happened in just that moment? Mary, Martha, all the crowd, Martha complaining that you shouldn't do this. Jesus speaks. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And I bet there are people thinking, "Who is this crazy guy?" And I think probably for that really quick moment, Martha's like, "Oh, is he really going to do this?" Mary's like, "Is he really going to do this?" And then the next thing you know, what do we see? The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." He was way ahead of them. Amen. Hear me today. I know some of you, I know I'm in the same boat in some places. You're doing way too many things. You're stressed out, you're worn out, you're tired, you're trying to fix the same problem over and over and it's not getting fixed, and you're ready to give up, to quit, to bail, and you're like, "I can't do this anymore, it's just all coming apart," and the Lord is trying to remind you today, "I'm already ahead of you. You need to seek me, and I'll help you navigate the situation that you're in. I'll help you find the path that you need to be so that you can find peace." Oh, wow. Jesus, again, he lets them know, and he prays to the Father that they may believe. The scripture says, John writes it again, Lazarus comes, and Lazarus is alive. And if you guys go on, we saw this a little bit last week, you'll see that Lazarus is eating with them later on, and people are coming to Mary and Martha's house just to see Lazarus. I think I would too, wouldn't you? I mean, if it's one of your neighbors, and he had been in the cemetery for a few days, and then he was at the park having picnic or for the little parade going by, would you want to go see? That's incredible what's going on. And they will come and see. You guys know the rest of the story. The Pharisees, I always think this is so crazy. They would like to try to kill Lazarus because he's influencing too many people. I'm like, why would you kill a man that Jesus already rose from the dead? Haven't you learned anything? Right? That's the power and the influence that Lazarus will have. The unbelievable happens. The dead man is walking. He's alive. I want to say this very simply today. When we give it and surrender our life to Christ, we'll become all he wants us to be. And so my question to you is, what area of your life are you holding back? Can I put it this way? I know God wants me to, but I'm afraid that, Oh man, I want to just come and talk to some of you right now. I know God wants me to, I know it. He's been speaking clearly to me to do this. I know he wants me to do this. But preacher, I'm scared to death that if I do that, how will I? Is it just the preacher feels that way? It feels like a few of you are identifying, right? I know God would have me. But if I do, I don't know how. Yeah, you don't know how. That's why we have to trust the Lord. Will you trust him today? He knows what's best for you. N.T. Wright put it this way. We are not to be surprised if living as Christians brings us to the place where we find we are at the end of our own resources and that we are called to rely on the God who does what? Who raises the dead. You guys remember the story of Abraham? That's crazy faith. I would not recommend this to anyone. God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. You guys know the story. Abraham is 100 years old when he gets his promised son. And then after that, maybe a few years later, God says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to offer that son as a sacrifice. Yeah, but wait a minute, Lord. You told me that there, out of me there's going to be many nations, and there's going to be stars as the sky and sand as the sea. That's how, and you give me one son, and now you want me to give him back to you? This isn't going to work. Anybody else have a problem with that? I'd be like, Lord, I mean, I've seen you do great things, but I just don't know how you're going to do this. If we take him out, then it's over. If you read in Hebrews chapter 11, the scripture says that Abraham believed that if God needed to, he could raise his son from the dead. Did you see what N.T. Wright said right here? The reason that the Lord a lot of times brings us through all this chaos and struggle and that the hem of the garment and that the yarn is pulling off and that the rope is about to break and the plates are falling down is God wants to get us at the end of our resources so we will really trust in him. And let me tell you, if God can raise the dead, I don't think there's anything that he cannot do for his glory and for your joy. Amen, amen. God's call today is very simple. Do you believe? Would you stand this morning? We have some of our church family that they answer God's call later in life. God spoke and challenged them, convicted them about who Jesus was, and they repented of their sins and trusted in him to pursue him. For me, I was a young child. I was 6 years old, but my life was forever changed because as a little boy, I told God that I would forsake my sin and I would seek him. And that's as simple, really, as it is to come to Christ. It is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and to forsake your sin. And when you make that kind of surrender, God will come in and change your heart. I think you've heard Brother Rick talk about it during his time. You've heard Michael talk about it in his prayer time. Everybody here today, what we want all of us to do is we want you to be ready to meet the Lord. Lord willing, you have a long, healthy, prosperous life ahead of you, but we know that for a lot of us that may not be the case. But we do know this, that everybody in this room will meet the Lord. And we would love for everyone to be ready to meet him. And the way you're ready to meet him is if you have forsaken your sin and put your trust in him.